music. I love music, love to sing. And love to sing all the time, anywhere, it doesn't matter. I know old Bobby Mumford out there so many times on the job site, get that hymn stuck in your head like that, and you just got to sing it. The last few weeks, I've not felt well. It's been difficult, and you know, when you don't feel well, and tried to sing, couldn't sing, didn't sound too good, and all like that. And when I don't feel well and I don't sing well, I get all grumbly and because I like to sing. I like to sing anywhere. I'm always reminded of the my little granddaughter said, "Grandpa, Grandpa, why must you continually to sing in the shower when your voice is terrible?" He says, "That's because we don't have a lock on the bathroom door." Oh, think about that over there. I like people that just want to sing, no matter where they're at, no matter what they're doing. They have a song, they have a joy that God has placed within their heart. And you know how it is sometimes when you're feeling and you're fighting these cold and flu bugs and you've got a lot of responsibilities and things to do and you don't quite feel 100%. Then when you start to get over it and you start to feel a little bit better and you start to go, "Oh, I think I might live through this one like this," you know, and you start to get a little energy back and you start to get a little excitement in your life. And I just love the way that God just reveals himself in special ways to us when we absolutely need it. Sometimes you come to church with an idea, with a game plan. Sometimes in life you've made up things and tried to figure it all out and said, "Well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this for the glory and I'm going to do. And all of a sudden God just steps in and he says, "Well, I'm going to reveal to you my plan. My way of doing things, my way of just simply taking care of those wonderful details within our lives." The prayer requests today were so special. To see the young men stand down here in the front here and open that hymnal up and sing a song, that is precious. It is precious to see people that are excited about what God is going to do. This morning I'm going to read from the sixth chapter in the book of Galatians. I'll read quite a few verses here and then we'll focus on a subject that I think is going to be dear to our hearts this morning. The title is "Hearing the Alarm Bells." "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." The second verse, Galatians 6:2, "Bear one another's burdens, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself, but let everyone examine his own work. Then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for each one shall bear his own load. Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches." The seventh verse, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And not let us grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Heavenly Father, add a special blessing over the reading of your word today. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. God's people, amen, amen. And then those of you that still may have your Bible open, you will notice in the 11th verse, "See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand." See with what large letters I have written to you in my own hand. He wrote this letter so that you'd see it, so that you'd understand it. And it talks about this subject of bearing one another's burdens. It's a phrase that I've heard all my life around church. To come in, we should pray and we should lift each up. We should bear one another's burdens. It's one of those nice little nifty church phrases that when you learn, it's pretty good. You can get that in, you know, you kind of work at it. You got, what does it actually mean to bear one another's burdens? Also, it says that God is not mocked, because what a man sows, that also shall he reap. I've come to find out that you can't pull one over on God. You can try to pull one over on a lot of people. You can try to fake it. You can try to just wing it. But you can't pull one over on God. God knows you. He knows everything about you. And you simply, no matter how and how you try to work it and how you try to figure it, you simply can't pull one over on God. So first of all, if we are to bear one another's burdens, we have to do first things first. We have to do a checkup on ourselves. Is my personal walk with God up to date? Am I walking the way that I should be walking? Talking the way should I be talking? Am I in tune with what God wants for me in my life? How precious it was last Sunday morning when we served communion. What a wonderful spirit on Easter morning. People just, it was beautiful. And such an opportunity is to come in to see all the wonderful forest that we had here to navigate through, to come down, to have the deacons come forward and to serve and to simply say to God, thank you for what you did for me. Thank you for allowing your son to hang upon a cross for my sins. That's the personal thing that we have to deal with every day, knowing what God did for us. We want to get a little personal checkup of our own life. Number two, I think you ought to have your priorities straight. What's important to you? What is important to you? We've grown wise enough, hopefully, through these years that we have lived to realize how the things that we thought would be so important, they're just not really all that important. You talk to someone who is suffering, that health thing, that's real important. You talk to somebody, and I forget how the definition was read one time, that says a recession is when people lose jobs. A depression is when I lose my job, right? It is so different when it affects you personally. And it allows you to refocus on what the priorities are in your life. I had the opportunity on Friday to travel up to my parents. A little over a month ago, they had over 20 inches of snow, wet snow, broke up so many pines all around the field. And the cedar trees were coming down on the line over there, and there were different little items that needed to be done. And my mother's just so full of patience. I've never seen it, but I imagine she is full of patience. Personally, I've not experienced that subject. And since this subject was brought up time and time, you know, we got to get them pines. You know them pines out there in the field? Yes, them pines. I know where those pines. I've been out in that field. I know where the pines are at. I know the pine. You know how it goes? Priorities, because it was something. And I have a dear cousin that came down from Pennsylvania. Dear brother. Oh, what a wonderful man. And we went out there and we worked in just a few hours, we got that job done. And we were just sitting back in the chairs. We were just so happy and patting ourselves on the shoulder about the job that we had done. Walked out. When about that cedar over there, when my mother walked out, It was beautiful to know that we simply taken on a task and then completed that task, but there were going to be other tasks to do. Setting your priorities. I think at certain times you have to ask yourselves the hard questions. So much of my time I know that I spend sometimes just chattering back and forth, and I love to kid, I like to carry on, I like to get these guys on a Sunday morning, Wednesday practice, and all the humor takes place, and just I love that part of it. But occasionally you have to ask yourselves the hard questions. Am I doing what God wants me to do? Am I growing closer to Him, closer than I was? Am I being used of God for His purpose? I know it is so difficult, and I just heard that story yesterday about Pastor Rick Warren, how tragedy struck his family. This is a man who, one of the most successful writers ever, a wonderful teacher. So many times I have instructed people to take your Bible, but then if you want to go get one book to kind of go along with that, grab that Purpose-Driven Life, because it explains things in a wonderful, everyday term about how you take these principles that we read about in the Bible and how we simply apply them to our lives. And it begins with a wonderful phrase: it is not about me, it is not about you, it is about God. How we are able to change our focus from ourselves to what God wants us to do. And then to have such a sad tragedy hit that family. I can only imagine. Sometimes we have to ask ourselves the hard questions. There are people around us that God wants us to reach out to. But it's going to take some effort. It's going to take some dedication. Might take mending a few fences. Might take putting ourselves in a little awkward situation. We call it thinking outside of the box, or a little bit, boy, that's not exactly what I'm used to, but you know what? I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to try to share with an individual that I know is struggling. I may be rejected. I may be scoffed. I may be made fun of. But I am going to try to do what God has laid upon my mind and upon my heart. I'm going to ask the tough questions. Those of you with children know exactly what I'm talking about. Sometimes you got to ask the tough questions. And more importantly, we have to ask ourselves those tough questions. Am I accountable to someone in authority? I believe that as we share one another's burdens, we have a dual responsibility. God in His Word tells me that I am supposed to lift up my brothers and sisters in Christ when they are struggling. But I think also that they have a responsibility towards me. I answer to each and every one of you. Praise God. That's exactly the way it ought to be. And you have people within your life that you answer to, and you have those that may answer to you. It's how we deal with relationships one with another that makes all the difference in the world. How can we live our lives in a way that God is lifted up? Finally, am I sensitive to what God is saying to the whole body of Christ? Am I happy being a part of it? Am I thrilled when I hear the report when prayer time is given and somebody says, I just want to praise God for what He has done in my life? Oh, you got to be a part of it. You got to share in the blessings. That's how we lift one another's burdens. I thought about this message. It's been kind of on my mind for the last couple weeks. As we got the news, it's only 3 weeks ago, and wow, what changes have happened. Down to Texas to say our goodbyes. Coming back, getting ready for wonderful Easter services down at the campgrounds and here. Trying to plan and do the best we can to do the right thing. To show those that have lost loved ones how much we care for them. And then at the same time, myself personally feeling such a warmth, such an uplifting of those around me that have simply said, you know what? I've been praying for you. Dear brother that comes to our concerts, little Jill sits here on the second row and he stands at the back, stopping by on a Wednesday night, catching me out here, and he said, brother, I just come to see how you're doing. Do you need anything? How are you handling the loss? I come to check on you. Wow. How does that make you feel inside, folks? We have a responsibility to check on each other, to lift up, to pray for. Sometimes you don't know what to say. Sometimes you need to laugh with them. Sometimes you need to cry with them. Many times I've told you about the little boy on his way back home. Tells his mom why he's late. Because Susie, her bicycle broke. She said, well, you couldn't do anything to help. He said, oh, yes, I could. I could sit there and cry with her. That's what God wants us to do sometimes. Just sit there and be a part of it. To have the harmony of a classroom throughout all of your life. Because you may be the one that God is going to use to bring that harmony about. The way you deal with others by lifting up their burdens. I call this my big hug sermon. Sometimes you just need a big hug sermon. It's not special. It's not anything's going to, wow, that's earth-shattering. Nope. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Sometimes
You just need someone to care. And I know my Heavenly Father cares for me every day. But I want people who care too. And I want to be that person with a kind word, with gentleness, just when it's needed. And if there's anything that I'm proud of as Mount Calvary, is I feel it within this building whenever we open the doors.
We serve a good God, don't we? Amen. Heavenly Father, we have come into your house. We have lifted up the name of Jesus in song. We have heard prayer requests. We have heard praises. We have read your word. We have heard the challenge to bear one another's burdens. So, Heavenly Father, let us do it. Let us perform these tasks that you place in front of us. Let us this week just dedicate ourselves to be just a little kinder, just a little warmer, just a little more gentle with those around us in need. And Heavenly Father, if the person under the sound of my voice is the one with need, let us be tuned in to your spirit that you'll reveal that to us so that we can be lifting that individual up in prayer. Give us safe traveling mercies as we leave your building today. Be your will, bring us back again to sing praises unto you. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus, and all God's people said amen and amen. I want you to